One day, there will be no more racial or ethnic divisions. One day, redeemed humanity will glory only in the cross. That's the picture the Bible paints in the book of Revelation. Their races of life long past, numberless saints from every nation will exalt the Lamb of God. Now here's some good news. It's possible for the church to mirror that future reality today. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today in his series on Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't, Dr. Lutzer is speaking about the cross as the basis for reconciliation. He closes with these observations.
A few important observations. First of all, the very high cost of unity. The high cost of unity. How much does it take to bring people together? Well, it costs Jesus the cross, and we want to get by on the cheap, don't we? We want to say, well, you know, we are singing the same hymns, and we do rub shoulders with these folks. You know that it takes forgiveness. Forgiveness, sometimes racially, for our insensitivities. And some of you African Americans, you know sometimes our insensitivities. It takes forgiveness on the part of all of the different races, accepting the other, because now in Jesus Christ, ethnicity takes a back seat. We are now one in Christ, and we are absolutely convinced that that which binds us together, namely this great work of God on the cross and the blessed Holy Spirit of God, is much stronger than anything that could ever tear us apart. That's our responsibility. It costs forgiveness. It costs inner strength, that we might be able to reach beyond our comfort zones and include within our friendships and our involvement people who are not like us. Now, you know your heart. I know mine. I gravitate to people who are like me, who think like me, who have the same, we can have the discussion about different topics because we always know that we'll agree and we are able to make sure that we reinforce our prejudices. That's the kind of people I like to be around. People who reinforce views like I have. And those are the kinds of people that you like to be around too. I'll tell you what the cross says. The cross says what you must do is to enlarge your circle. The cross of Jesus Christ says you must be willing to move out of that comfort zone, and you must be willing to set aside your individual preferences for the good of the other members of the body of Jesus Christ who are quite unlike you. A number of years ago, here in the suburbs, or in one of our suburbs, I should say, there was a man who ran for mayor, and I will not mention the suburb, but he ran on a very racist message. His slogan was, "Let's keep this suburb for people like us." And I say, shame on him. And I hope that the day never comes when we say to ourselves, "Let's keep this church for people just like us." No, let's keep this church for the people of God. For the people of God. It involves risk. It involves a death to selfishness, because if there's anything that unity demands, it is selflessness and a fundamental desire that we shall do all that we possibly can to repent of that which is in our hearts, that we might love across some very uncomfortable lines. So first of all, a word about the cost. Secondly, a word about the goal. Where is all this leading? What's God's intention? We know from Ephesians 2 that he has the intention of creating a new man, a new nation, a new temple, but where is it all going to end? Use your imaginations for just a moment and imagine off in the horizon you see all of these dots. These dots are all over the place. But you notice that they are coming together, streams from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and they are converging upon a mountain. And as we look carefully, we notice that the dots are actually people. People from every tribe and tongue and nation, they are all gathering together there. And yes, from every tribe, they have maintained their ethnicity. But that's not their distinctive mark. Because what God has done is He has taken all these barriers that we have erected and through the blood of Christ has demolished them so that the ethnicity and the distinctiveness remains in a mighty crescendo of unity and praise from every country of the world, not just the great United States of America, but from every country of the world, God brings His people together. And they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to take the book and to break the seals, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. And then they sing the Hallelujah chorus. That's God's design, the transnational community. And He invites us to have a church to reflect that before we get there. Now, if you're the kind of person who says, well, you know, at all costs, one thing I'll never do in life is live in an interracial neighborhood. Not me. Well, if you're saying that, I need to warn you about heaven.
Preach.
Some of you might want to reroute your travel plans. As I look at this text, and all that I see is diversity and interracial, praise to Jesus Christ. You remember that story that I like to tell you? You say, well, as yet, we don't exactly remember it. I'll help you a little bit. Remember the guy in World War II who, their buddy died, these two soldiers, and they wanted to have a place to bury him? And they came to a cemetery and they asked if they could bury him. And the priest in the cemetery said, is your buddy a Roman Catholic? And they said, no. And he said, I'm sorry, but this is a Catholic cemetery. You can't bury him. So they felt very badly, and they buried him just outside the fence of the cemetery. Dug a grave there. Went on their way and came back in the morning so that they could at least straighten it up a little bit and bring some flowers. And they couldn't find the grave. Shocked. Then the priest came to them and said, you know, I couldn't sleep all night because of what I told you, so I got up early this morning and I moved the fence to include your buddy within the cemetery. Now, you know me well enough to know that the purpose of telling that is not to make any ecumenical point so much as to make a different point. That if we are to be the people of God and fulfilling Jesus Christ's prayer, if the cross that we take into the world is a cross that is to reconcile people so that the fragmented culture, and by the way, Jesus never prayed that the world would become one. He only prayed that His people would. If this fragmented culture that is so distrustful and cynical of us Christians, who are also filled with the individualism and the claws of modernity, are also consuming our flesh, if we want to be able to say, yes, Christ's prayer is fulfilled, and we have become one at high cost, what we need to do is to move the fence. We need to move the fence. For some, it is a racial fence. Some of you aren't over it yet. You're not over it just because you come to a church where there may be some integration. You're not over it. And that fence has to be removed. It may be an economic fence that has to be removed. Maybe it is the fence of personality that has to be pushed over, or an educational fence. Because if our love does not extend beyond those who make us comfortable, we have not found yet what Christ prayed for and for what His heart longs. Edwin Markham, he drew a circle that shut me out, heretic rebel, a thing to flout, but love and I had the will to win. We drew a circle that took him in. And this entire message will have been a failure if right now in your mind you are not thinking of ways by which the fence, the circle, the walls can be demolished, the fence extended, the circle enlarged, So that now you begin to see like God sees, beyond all the differences that mean so much to those of us who still sometimes walk in the flesh. And we begin to see God's desire for a transnational community that's to be modeled in this world. There are some of you who are listening who are not yet a part of that community, by the way, because you don't become a member automatically. What does the text say repeatedly, Ephesians chapter 2? Through his cross, he made him one. And then as you come to God through the cross and you get close to God, the closer you get to him, the closer you get to other people. And the unity begins to happen. Here's what God does. First of all, he demolishes the walls of the human heart so that he can come in, cleanse us, forgive us, and reconcile us to himself. Then he came along historically and he demolished the walls of the temple and said those walls have to go. And then in Acts chapter 2, through a series of events that we do not have time to tell you about, he opened the walls of the church and said that the church has to be without walls. The unifying factor is peace through the blood of his cross. Today I speak to some people and you are our friends, but you are not yet our brothers and sisters. You may be our neighbors. There may be many of you here who fit into that category, but you are not yet our prayer partners, for it is in Christ that we are reconciled. I urge you with all that is within me, be ye reconciled to God and become a part of the new body, a part of the new nation, part of the temple that God is building, and eventually a part of that great company which no man can number from every tribe, kindred, and people, a tongue, and nation. I urge you today to believe in Christ that you may be saved. Well, my friend, I hope that you love that word reconciliation. I love it because I know what it is like to not be reconciled to God and then be reconciled to God. And all of us have had the experience of being out of fellowship with other people and how wonderful it is to be reconciled. This is Pastor Lutzer. And I hope, by the way, that you will take up the opportunity of getting this series of messages. Get a set for your friends, because in the midst of this political year, when we hear so much about America needing to come together, the question that we need to ask is exactly what is it that will bring us together? Well, a new leader might, a new president that we're going to be electing in a few weeks. But at the end of the day, it is Jesus who brings people together. Because there at the foot of the cross, we receive forgiveness and we also grant forgiveness to others. There we lay down our pride and we become one in Jesus Christ, our loving Lord.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Cross, the Basis for Reconciliation. Another message in his series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Increasingly, self-fulfillment has become society's basis for ethical choices, and the human price tag is very high. Tomorrow, join us as we explore the cross as the basis for morality. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. In sorting out how to mix faith and politics, we all need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.